I carried bunches of dates to sell on the street, and a car hit me. I sustained injuries on my head, and the little I earn is being used to settle all my medical bills. I have to sell water to eat food. Oh God, help.
Owl, that's not his real name, gets upset as he tells me his story. I can see tears filling his eyes and cascading down his cheeks. He says despite the hazards associated with hawking on the streets, he has no option but to continue, as it is the only way for him to earn a living and earn enough money to pay for school. He is 12 years old. I am Mustafa Muhammad of the BBC House of Service, and for Nigeria's Working Children on the BBC World Service, I have come to Kano in northern Nigeria to find out what is it like to spend your childhood working. We start our story at Owl's home. He is wearing a brown long-sleeved shirt that's torn from the shoulder down. He has big brown eyes with a squint, and he is tall for his age. The house has three rooms with cement floors that frame a very small courtyard. There is not much furniture, just some low two-seater benches that double as beds at night. There is a little locally made firewood stove as well. His uncle and aunt look after him. His dad died when he was six. He can't live with his mother because his dad had divorced her before his death. In northern Nigerian culture, that means the children have to stay with the father's family. Owl's aunt warms the family's breakfast, spaghetti left over from last night. Owl remembers that he did not wash his hands, so wash his hand while the food prepared for him for the breakfast. Now sits outside the kitchen to eat the breakfast after washing his hands. He has already put on his uniform, which has seen better days. I now join Owl as he walks to school. Luckily enough, his school is not very far from his home, just like 200 meters away. Here we are at the school premises where Owl studies.
How are you?
Classes are in session at the school Owl attends. In this particular classroom, Owl is one of over 80 pupils taking lessons. How does learning take place under such conditions? Let me ask the teacher.
Actually, the learning condition is very poor because we are finding it difficult to teach more than 80 people in a class. At times, you can find some pupils, they don't even know what you are saying in the class. Why? Because there are too many inside the class.
Owl is in your class. How is he performing? Because he is combining schooling and hooking on the street, selling sachet water. What is his performance now at the moment?
Actually, Owl is a very brilliant boy in our class. His parents are very poor, so they cannot afford everything for him. He cannot even afford the fees for common entrance examination they are going to write.
So exam is coming now?
Yes, common entrance examination is approaching.
What do you think he can do?
Actually, one of the teachers, he took responsibility of that form for him, and he purchased it for him so that he can go ahead for writing the common entrance examination.
It seems like you are seeing a bright future for Owl. That's why maybe...
Actually, as he is now, he is very good and brilliant. So we have to encourage him. If we let him go down, we lost at all. because as his parents cannot afford it, so we have to at least encourage him so that he will become somebody in future.
School closes for today. Awal is now back at home. He looks tired, but he has to prepare to go and sell sachet water on the streets in the ancient city of Kano. Often Awal doesn't get any lunch at home. After school, he has to go straight to work to sell water so he can use some of his earnings to buy something to eat when he can.
After finishing school, I take my bucket and go out to sell water. I don't even get to eat some days. Sometimes I eat from what I earn, and other days I take all the money back home. Once I got injured on my leg while hawking the water, but I had no option but to continue selling. If I don't, we get no money. Our father, my uncle, is poor. He lost his job.
Although it is illegal for anyone under 18 to work in Nigeria, the law is rarely, if ever, enforced. Awal has to go to a small-scale industrial area in the center of Kano to buy stock. He then spends 3 hours under the hot sun selling water at a busy road junction nearby.
This is where Awal comes for his supplies. The humming you hear is from the aces of a number of improvised water coolers, like refrigerators, but locally constructed with aluminium sheet metal. The water is packed in small 50 centiliter plastic bags. I can see how the transaction goes on and how he is packing this sachet water into a bag. He puts that bag in a container which he carries to the street. So I'm now the person that sells sachet water to Awal.
This boy, every day when he comes back from school, he makes sure he sells all the water sachets he picks for the day. And if there are any unsold, we can keep them for him to take and sell the next day. This is how the children provide for themselves and their parents. The boys make 40 naira, that's about 25 cents from each pack of water sachets. So if they sell 3 or 4 packs a day, they earn a significant amount that benefits them and their parents.
Experts believe that children who are neglected in a society tend to have low confidence and self-esteem. They develop worries in their minds as to why they are different from their friends and neighbors. Awal says sometimes it is all too much and he prefers to be alone and read his books to help him forget his uncle's poverty. At times, he feels desperate.
I don't have enough to make it. God help me to get something that could pay my way through school, just to get an education. God help my uncle and help me to get enough to go to school.
But in an odd way, Awal is lucky in that he goes to school. Others have lives that are all work. Abdul Ahmed, that's not his real name, is one of them. He's 14 years old and has been up since 6:30 this morning. He's on his way to the factory where he has to work every day to support his parents.
In order not to miss the factory bus, Abdul Ahmed has to be at this particular bus stop by 6:45 early in the morning. Here comes the bus for the factory. Abdul and his colleagues are getting into the bus now. It is a big bus that carries at least 24 people. Now the workers board the bus for the short ride to the factory.
I
only have breakfast at 11 a.m. every day, but I have to be at work very early. Of course, it is not healthy for a child like me to start factory work on an empty stomach. just to earn a living and to help others. But that's what I have to endure, just to survive.
These boys are not unusual. According to the International Labour Organization, there are 215 million children under 14 worldwide who work full-time, 15 million of them in Nigeria alone.
Abdul lives with his mother in a mud house in one of the slums of the ancient city of Kano. The house is a large compound shared by several families, all of which are poor.
We're now driven to the factory where Abdul Ahmed works. We are joining them.
After a ride of about a kilometer, the bus arrives at the factory. As you can now hear from the background, this is a big hall where Abdul Ahmed works, and he's now telling me what he does. He's taking me around to different sections of this hall.
Usually bring out the millet and give it to the women to prepare before it is taken to the milling machine.
After this, then what do you do again?
After that, we take it to the production area where it is ground and then we bring it out.
Despite the hazards associated with factory work and street hawking, millions of Nigerians hope that working will help them to have a brighter future. But hopes can be dashed too.
I'm driven to meet with a child who lost his left hand while operating a machine in a factory in the ancient city of Kano.
Mustapha, who is a breadwinner for his family, looks haggard and forlorn, wearing a long-sleeved shirt that covers the amputated left hand. I have brought along Abdul to meet Mustapha and share their stories.
They are greeting each other. Abdul is asking him how life is like that he lost his hand in a factory.
Well, I feel awkward and different because I started my life with the dream of helping my family and helping myself.
How do you get this accident in the factory?
It was on Wednesday after we closed from production, and we just asked to go and wash the machinery. And it's in the process of washing the machinery that our hand was cut up, then taken to hospital.
When are the doctors finalized that your hands should be amputated?
I was kept in the hospital for 2 days unattended, and it was then that a doctor came and after examination said that my hand had to be amputated.
Now that your hand was amputated, what life is like because you have dreams?
I feel bad, although it is an act destined by God, but I feel bad because my dream was to help myself, help my family.
What are your limitations now that you have only one hand, your left hand was amputated?
When I had two hands, there were many things I could do. But now that I have only one hand and have lost one, there are many things that I can't do.
Okay, can you give me examples?
When I had two hands, I could wash. I was doing my washing, but now I can't. And so many house chores, which I used to, but now I just have to watch others do. He looks downcast with a somber look, and he's close to tears. Although he's crying hard to conceal his emotions, but his facial expression belies that emotion underneath. He's really getting close to tears, and he looks very somber, and gazing at the ground.
This is an engaging and appalling discussion between Abdul and Mustapha.
Abdul is a factory worker, so as Mustafa, who lost his hand, all in northern Nigeria.
Mustafa's father, Malam Yusuf, is a Quranic teacher. He teaches young children the Holy Quran. He only earns a little bit of money from the parents of the students he teaches. His wages are very meager compared to what Western schools pay.
Well, we feel a shortfall in our family because of this misfortune that has befallen us. But we believe that God does not burden his servant with what he cannot bear.
It seems that the child that works in the factory has been helping the family in different ways. Could you highlight the ways that child helped you?
He is a young boy who is so passionate about helping his family, and each time he got his pay, his main concern was to help us, his parents. We are people of little means. We don't have much. All our lives have been devoted to teaching and training young children in Islamic theology, and we rely so much on his help.
So, since your child, the breadwinner of the family, was amputated, how has life changed?
Honestly, we are in a very tight situation following the amputation and disability of our child. He was the one helping us considerably. But God is the provider for all, and we rely on God so much. But still, we feel there is a wide gap between what we used to have and what we live on now.
So it does mean that you have given up in pursuing the rights of that child from that company?
We are lucky. A private lawyer came forward and has volunteered to give us free legal services to pursue the rights of my child with the company. He wrote to the company and gave them a 2 weeks ultimatum to respond. I spoke with the lawyer just this morning, and we are going to meet to review the situation and determine what to do next. We may even go to court so that the company faces legal charges, and will demand compensation in order to secure a better life for my child.
The company called Soject Nigeria Limited denies that Mustafa, whose hand had to be amputated, works for them, but insists that he works for a subcontractor instead. Engineer Miftahu Ali Hassan works for Soject.
Actually, Mustafa is not a staff of Soject Nigeria Limited, as you mentioned. It's a laborer working under a subcontractor with Soject Nigeria Limited. So we had no any legal agreement with him to undertake any work.
Why is he allowed operating a machine or washing a machine for the factory of Soject?
You see, the subcontractor is working with the company. So the subcontractor employed him as his laborer or to assist him. So all the deal is with the subcontractor. So we assigned the subcontractor to mold some interlocking tiles for us. So we only had agreement with the subcontractors. As I heard, he's not even the operator of the machine.
People keep wondering how that had happened, how the accident happened.
Yeah, actually, when they finished their casting of the interlocks, they used to wash the machine after we have off the machine. So they will go and wash away all the concrete so as to avoid the drying. So one of his colleagues, I can say recklessly or intentionally, on the machine. So his hand was there.
Is the machine belongs to the contractor or the Soject company?
The machine belongs to the company.
Does that mean that you don't have any concern for Mustafa, who lost his hand?
Actually, we did everything we could do to our staff, to Mustafa. When the accident happened, we quickly rushed him to a private hospital named Al Ummah Hospital, where first aid was given to him, and later several referrals to so many hospitals. So we later brought him back to the Al Ummah Hospital, and the doctor there suggested for amputation above the elbow. We did everything, and we settled all the hospital's bills just for a humanitarian gesture. We are looking for a suitable place for him to employ him if he's ready to work with us.
These underage children who work are in search of a better life. What hopes and dreams do they have for their future? And what are the challenges they see ahead? Abdu, who works in the factory every day, talks more like an adult than a 14-year-old boy.
My hope in life is for Allah to make me become rich, because as a poor boy myself, I know what the poor go through in life. I also pray whatever God blesses me with, I'll be able to use it to help poor people like me. I know what it's like to suffer and be needy. Therefore, if I become rich by Allah's grace, I will support the poor. I'm impressed whenever I see people helping the needy. That's what I hope to do.
Abdu was forced to drop out of school because he couldn't pay his fees. I asked him if he thinks he will ever go back to school.
I have not given up hope in spite of the fact that I'm doing this job. I know it's not possible to carry on studying while I'm earning a living, but if God gives me the opportunity, I'd love to give up the job and return to school. Every time I see a student wearing their smart uniform, I'm impressed. And I really wish I could be the one walking down the street like that on my way to school. But I had no choice. I had to interrupt my education to work in the company to earn a living.
Abdu is enthusiastic. He would love to continue his education despite the challenges ahead of him. He helps his parents and pays for his siblings' education with the little he earns from the factory work. I wonder what his parents hope for Audu's own future education. Salamatu Garba, not her real name, is his mother.
We do not have the means to pay for his education, and luckily he was employed in the factory. In due course, by God's grace, we will ensure he goes back to school and continues his education. And he helps us considerably with our daily needs. He supports the education and feeding of his younger siblings. He helps his father and assists us all.
Awal, the 12-year-old we met earlier, he's the one who works after school. He has similar ambitions to Audu.
My ambition is to work in the airplane industry or any other field that Allah wants me to. But I'm more interested in helping my uncle find a job.
Awal's guardian, Ahmed, a driver, is actually a younger brother of his late father. He lost his job nearly 4 years ago and has been looking for work ever since, while struggling to shoulder the responsibility of a family of seven with two wives.
These children are human beings and servants of God, and I took over their care because their father was my brother, who died in this very house. I have been responsible for all their needs, but we are now living in a very difficult situation. That is why we have to cut back on some things. For example, we have to make do with one or one and a half meals a day instead of three square meals a day. Sometimes when I go out, I get lucky and land a job that pays by the day, but sometimes I return home empty-handed.
Awal's family are in great need. I ask Awal's uncle and guardian what difference the money makes that Awal earns from selling sachet water on the streets after school.
When he goes street hawking, then, God willing, he earns some money, and we use that to buy something that I could not provide, like soap. But if I have enough, then we keep the money for him. We will then use it later to buy his school books or a new pen if his old one is empty. If there is anything he wants to buy for school, we use the money that his aunt keeps safe for him, and that allows him to go to school. But if I have enough, then I buy things for him. If I don't, then we use the money he earns from his sales. I certainly feel bad. I have to look after 7 children. But despite the fate that has befallen us, none of them has dropped out of school, neither the Western nor the Islamic schools. I used to sponsor them all, and we never failed to cook in this house. There's nothing I can do. Now things have got to the point that I had to take 2 of them to the village to be taken care of by my eldest brother.
These children face many risks, being hit by a car or injuries in a factory, and sometimes they risk being trafficked for sex abuse. I look at the spirit in the minds of those young children struggling for survival, struggling to make both ends meet. I really admire them because they are very resilient and very concerned for their future. It is quite extraordinary to find young children like that struggling and have an ambition and hopes for their future, hoping even to make their parents' lives better. They keep hope alive. Despite the claims by the authorities in Nigeria that they are tackling the child labor, it seems like the fight to end this practice is really not in sight. And for these unfortunate children and many others like them, the brighter future they long for so much is still a long way off. Freedom 20.